Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now we're going to open up the phones for teachers on this school holiday to talk about class size. What's the ideal class size for you, and how much does it vary by grade and by subject? I bring it up because a couple of weeks ago, the writer Malcolm Gladwell was on the show talking about his new book, David and Goliath. And one of the topics we covered was the paradox that he illuminates, that smaller class size is not always better. So teachers, what is the ideal class size for you and your students at any grade? And when is the class too small? Obviously, classes can be too big. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. If you want to weigh in on the question of ideal class size, 212-433-9692. We're going to replay a two-minute clip of Malcolm Gladwell on the show from that day. And again, the framing of this conversation is that in his book, David and Goliath, he says the small class size can actually sometimes be the Goliath.
Small class size is the Goliath because it is the option that is available to the people with the most resources, right? And we pursue that option in the belief that we are creating an advantage for our children. And my argument is that the picture is a lot more complicated than that, that when you have a very large class and you make it smaller, things get better for the kids. But there is a point at which smaller classes do not produce better outcomes. They appear to produce worse outcomes. And you said this will enrage many teachers. I don't think it will, because I got this idea from teachers. I went out and talked to countless teachers asking them, is there an optimal class size? Is there a point at which a class can be too small? And they said, absolutely, there's a point where it gets too small. Now, they all have different definitions, slightly different, of what that point is. But it does seem like I found it hard to find particularly middle and high school teachers who thought that it was a good idea to have a class in the mid-teens. They thought it gets really problematic when you get down to...
Because?
For a number of reasons. One is that it's really hard, particularly with adolescents, to get any discussion going when the room's too small. And when you do get discussion going, it's very, very limited. There isn't a diversity of voices in the room. Two, that paradoxically, you can have real behavioral problems in small classes because one bad actor can dominate, or one conflict between two kids can dominate because there's nowhere for them to hide. But the most important reason, there's some really interesting academic research on this, is that when a class gets too small, it starts to harm the poorest students. They get singled out. But more importantly, the thing that a kid who's struggling needs, if he or she is to make headway, is to find a true peer, to find someone else who has the same problems they have, who is learning at the same pace, who's asking the same questions, so they don't feel isolated and alone at the bottom. When classes get too small, the poorest students feel isolated and alone at the bottom. And that's devastating, right? And that's a big, so many teachers said this to me. You don't want to have your poorest kid marooned there in a class where they're singled out as the struggling one. You can't hide in a class that gets too small. Yeah.
Malcolm Gladwell, the New Yorker staff writer and author, most recently of David and Goliath, on this program the other day. You can hear the whole interview if you're interested at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But I figured teachers would want to respond to that. So we're using the school holiday to do it, 212-433-WNYC. By the way, teachers, you'll also be interested to know that the Chancellor of the New York City Public Schools, Dennis Walcott, is coming on Thursday to talk about the new evaluation system, and I'm sure you're going to have stuff to say about that, so use your prep period or whatever to listen in, call in, or tweet us a question in advance regarding the new evaluation system for Dennis Walcott on Thursday. Right now, the ideal class size for you, Our lines are full at 212-433-WNYC. You can also post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Valerie in the Bronx, you're on the air. Valerie, thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call. I think my opinion changed a little bit based on listening to Malcolm Gladwell, but I would say that at the middle school level, once you get past 20, you start to have problems when if a student is not engaged and, you know, the typical, like, class clown kind of kid, mm-hmm. and if they take over the room, then you look around the room and you see 25 kids who are missing out because one kid, you know, needs, you know, some more time, needs more motivation. And so that dynamic doesn't happen as much when you have fewer students because it's less of a performance, if you will. So,
oh, that's interesting because you're really saying the opposite from your experience of what Malcolm Gladwell said. He was saying that if you have that one disruptive kid, it's worse in a small class because, you know, then the entire class is disrupted instead of maybe the group of kids around him or that kind of thing. But you're saying there's more of an incentive to be that class clown if it's a big group.
Right. And they have someone to play off of them, someone else who would like to, you know, get involved. And, it has to do with getting kids motivated about the learning, and because then they can redirect that energy mm-hmm. towards something really great and lead a discussion. And I've seen kids who are capable of doing that. But it's less likely to become like a show if it's 20 or around that size
right.
rather than 30.
And to his larger point, is there ever a class size that's too small for middle school in your experience? Because, again, he was saying that especially in middle school and high school, it's better if you have the larger classes and let some real larger classes up to about 18. He's not saying 33 like we have in the New York City public schools. He made that clear, too. But mm-hmm. that smaller than about 18, you start to lose something? Or do you disagree?
Well, my two classes that are smaller than 18, one is a bilingual, transitional bilingual class, and the other is a self-contained special ed class. And I'm still learning as a teacher how to meet their needs as students. And I do find that the smaller setting, I see why that's helpful because their needs uh-huh. are individualized and you have to be able to work right. with them on that level. So I find that if I had a more diverse class or kids were high level at the small class size, maybe it could be a problem if it was, you know, 8 or 15. Mm-hmm. But for their situation, I see why a small class size, I haven't seen that being problematic.
Valerie, I really appreciate your call. Happy Columbus Day. Jessica in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
So you're a teacher?
I'm a teacher. I teach, taught for like 25 years, and I teach in a private school at the moment, but I've taught in public school as well.
Uh-huh.
But not in New York City all the time.
So since you've taught in both public and private, maybe you have personal experience with what Gladwell was trying to argue there, which is that small class size is the Goliath because it is the private schools, the moneyed private schools in particular, that really reduce class sizes because the parents want that, but it doesn't necessarily provide the optimal environment for the kids.
I think it depends on area. I think that the research needs to be done or to look at on group dynamics. And there is research that shows that a class size that it's 18 is big, or 16 or 8 or 5, for different situations, different topics, those things matter. In my experience, having had a class of 18, if two kids were absent, I was teaching 16 kids and they were individuals. If everybody was present, it was like teaching a clump. And I don't know how to answer that mm-hmm. other than to say this was in a public school. And I've experienced it in lots of different ways. In my current experience, my half groups are really effective, but I don't like half groups for all things because it's really good to have the flexibility to do both. I think a lot of what goes on with educational research is your samples have a lot to say about what the research says, because the samples, depending on which area of the country you are in. In my graduate work, I looked at a lot of educational research, and I found the samples to be really faulty. And I know everybody wants to get their PhD, so they do a lot of research, but sampling kids in educational settings, having taught so many years, I know that every year the tenor of the group changes, so that you, one year you have kids who really like to do one thing, I'll do sign language or something like that as a side thing, and they'll really like it. Or the next year they don't really don't care. Some years they like to sing.
Right.
You know, that,
sure.
That,
every
that
group
kind of
is
thing.
Different.
Those
are, but by and large, when you go from individuals to a clump, is somewhere between 16 up toward 18.
Yes, and I think this artificial cutoff of 18, I don't know where it came from, but I think the cutoff is 16 from my experience, and not 18.
Jessica, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Yeah, he was saying that on the way down, teachers say they don't, told him in his interviews and I guess in the research that he was citing, the academic research, that 18 was about the cutoff for how small they want a class to be, that's smaller than that for a lot of middle and high school settings and contexts starts to be a problem. That number was cited to him, so says Malcolm Gladwell. Nicholas in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nicholas.
Hey, Brian, how are you? Great, big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I actually called in. I'm a high school English teacher here in Bergen County, New Jersey. And I feel like in a suburban setting, diversity in the classroom is very important. And I noticed in one of my classes, I have 11 kids, for example. And not only by race or ethnicity, but even sometimes on the lines of gender, that some classes can be dominated by one group over another. And I think prior even to hearing the story and research, I was, you know, I was driving and I was thinking to myself, well, what number would be ideal for me? And I came up with a number of about between 14 and 18, because I think at that point you really start getting a sustainable amount of different voices in the classroom, where, like one of your previous callers had said, when the class sizes are too small, I mean, it can lead to a certain tension in the classroom if the kids aren't so vocal, or maybe they're different types of learners. And I think 18 is a proper cutoff, especially what I've noticed for my high school seniors. I can't imagine that number gets any better when you start going down in the grades as far as just the comfort level of students participating in class. And, I mean, if you're going with the whole Socratic method where discussion is a vital part of education, I think 18 is a good number.
Nicholas, thanks a lot. And thanks to all of you who called in on this. You can keep this going on our comments page, if you like, at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. People are writing in. People are tweeting about this. One teacher writes, I can have a class of 20. If that one kid is present or absent, it can break or make the whole class. So something similar to what we heard from one of the earlier callers. And two, you can start posting your comments and questions in advance. You can use that same class size comments page that we already have up. For the chancellor, Dennis Wolcott, who's going to be a guest on Thursday, the New York City Schools chancellor, on the evaluation system that's now being implemented. So post your praise, your criticism, your questions for Dennis Wolcott on that at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show on that class size page, or tweet at Brian Lehr, and we'll get some of your questions in to Dennis Wolcott on Thursday's show. Brian Lehr on WNYC. Coming up next, former Weather Underground leader, former Obama friend, Bill Ayers, who has a new book about being made an issue in the 2008 presidential campaign. Stay with us.